Moncrief on News Talk.
Last month, figures published by the Department of Health revealed that a third of Irish people feel they're not getting a proper night's sleep. Among couples, this is an age-old problem, with many opting for the age-old solution of sleeping in separate beds. But the internet thinks it's new and it's calling it sleep divorce. Fiona Brennan is a clinical hypnotherapist and the author of Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed. Fiona, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
This is not a new thing at all. I know, like, the internet is run by 12-year-olds, so they think everything is new.
Well, do you know what it's doing? It's raising something that people feel really uncomfortable about having out there in the public. It's a sense of almost like, you know, your marriage or your partnership is somehow a failure if you have to sleep in separate rooms and that you have no sex life, that you're, you know, it's the next, you're on the road to divorce and homelessness and God knows what, right? But the truth is that the research that you're saying is absolutely accurate. But we do also know from the UK and America that it's 1 in 4 people will admit to sleeping separately. But it could be higher because a lot of people don't want to actually say it publicly. So when they do it anonymously in research, it comes out at 1 in 3 people do actually sleep separately from their partners.
Yeah, that well, I mean, and which is quite high, I suppose. Is it almost exclusively to do with snoring?
It's a big part of it, but essentially we do sleep better separately. Again, there's surveys to show that we get a better night's sleep when we're on our own. But what's really interesting, Sean, is that we report sleeping better as a couple than we actually are. So when they put people into the sleep lab, they see that their sleep isn't as effective when they're sleeping together as when they're sleeping separately. So there's a lot of sort of sense of people wanting to stay with their partner for security, for comfort, for, you know, that thing called love, which is fair enough. We want to be close. We want to be intimate. But there are many solutions to this. And I am walking sleeping testament to this personally. I can share that what I have done, because while writing this book, Sean, I'll be completely honest with you, my sleep went from, I would say, pretty good to pretty awful. And the reason for that was all the research was pretty terrifying. So my poor husband couldn't breathe because I would say that I was going to, you know, get Alzheimer's if I missed an hour of sleep because of his breathing or snoring or moving in the bed. So we don't have a separate room. So he was on the sofa for a while. Which is really not.
Oh, God.
I know. It's not the recipe for a happy marriage.
You should have given him a co-credit on the book at the very least.
Oh, he did, believe me. But the point is that what we came up with and what I really can recommend and be a testament to is what's called the Scandinavian solution, right? And this is where it's not complete divorce in terms of separate rooms or separate sofas, if you like. It is a case of staying in the same room. Okay, you've got 2 single beds.
Okay.
You've got 2 separate duvets, blankets, etc., and you are not disturbing each other. And what we want to do is actually keep the intimacy and the comfort and the love there and the cuddles and the kisses and all that. You don't want to miss out on that because that is a huge important part of our relationship and relationships in general.
Yes,
not just mine. Not just mine.
Fiona's here to try and save her marriage, folks.
Oh, God. So the point is that you can, what we call bookend the day. So you start off, you can be together in the morning, you can have a little kiss and cuddle. That's perfectly, you're right beside each other. And the same thing at the end of the day. And you can also do that, if you do have to actually go to the full divorce, if you like, and have separate rooms, you can still make time for each other by going in to each other, you know, last thing at night and spending a bit of time together and then the next morning again. And there's so many different solutions to this. And I think it's a really personal thing. It's very subjective. But what I would say, you know, and I, again, walk in testament to it myself and all of my clients professionally, is that when you prioritize your sleep, everything gets better.
Yes. Oh, no. 100%.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all relationships, your children, your work colleagues, everything blossoms because you're regulated emotionally, because you're able to focus, because, you know, the benefits are just so worth it. It's like it's actually worth making those tweaks to your setup.
Yeah. I mean, if you're lying in the middle of the night and with someone who you love.
Yes.
And it's astounding how quickly you can move from, I love this person, I'm sharing my life with them, but they're making this weird sound every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or they don't snore and then they do the thing, you know, which makes everybody jump up. And it's only a matter of minutes from I love them to I'm going to stab them now.
Absolutely.
You know, would this be justifiable homicide? Would that, you know, could
yeah,
I get away
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, that's been considered. Absolutely, yeah. They're not as cute as babies. You know, babies can be forgiven very quickly, you know.
Oh, yeah, they've got the cuteness.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, that's why they're like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, chuck them out
survival.
The window. In a lot of European countries, they have the separate duvets.
Yes, thing. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I assume that the problem that solves is that he turns over and brings the entire duvet with him.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Exactly. It's all that moving and kind of shuffling and pulling on the duvets and all. You can get rid of all of that, which is so simple and effective. Like, why not do it? The snoring now, obviously, it's not going to solve that problem.
Yeah.
However, what I will say is that when your sleep is deeper, right, you tend not to notice the snoring as much.
Yes.
Right? So you're less likely to have disruption, you're less likely to wake up, and therefore you're less likely to hear your partner snoring. And to be honest, most of us do snore. It just depends how loudly.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's like it's not just men, it's not just some people, it's most of us. Even would you believe it? Apparently I snore. Can you believe that?
No, I
know,
I look
so perfect. I know, it's hard to believe.
I
know,
I
that's a
tough. To that end, though, is it then, like if one partner goes to bed earlier than the other one comes up an hour later, the partner in bed is already in their deep sleep, honking away?
Yeah.
So should you really try and go to sleep at the same time?
Well, ideally, yes. Now, not everyone has that, right, at all. And that would be another, to be honest, if one of you is like, you know, a night owl, one of you is the early bird, that's another reason probably to consider making the shift to your own room. Because, you know, you want to have your own autonomy over how you live, and you don't want to be disrupted with lights coming on and all of that. It's unnecessary. But if you can find a kind of medium ground, you know, where there's a little bit of give and take, I think that's the ideal.
Yeah.
But we have to be flexible as well. You know, we're not seeking perfection.
Yeah. So, there's still, though, that sense that you alluded to at the start, that people might feel some sort of sense of failure.
Oh, completely, Sean.
Yeah.
And that's why I think a lot of people resist doing it. They might want to do it. They might go, God, that would be amazing. Imagine having my own room, you know, being able to go to sleep without any of this, you know, dreaming about it. But there's a fear then that somehow they're letting the other person down, that their marriage isn't, or their partnership is not, you know, successful, that there isn't intimacy and all of that. We need to just put away. Because actually, what I heard recently is that couples who do sleep separately, actually, there's really good solid research to show that they have more and better sex.
That was the next thing I was going to say. Because, if you're still, unless you're using the you snore and moving to a different room as a kind of, you know, cover for, I don't actually, don't, not interested you at all. It kind of forces you to make more of an effort.
Yeah,
surely.
It is. It's that, but it's also your hormones, your sex hormones are higher. Your estrogen in a woman is higher because you're sleeping better, and your testosterone in a man is higher because you're sleeping better. So therefore, your drive is higher, and therefore you're more regulated also emotionally. You're less likely to be frustrated and annoyed with the person, so you kind of want to be intimate. So there's all of this that actually leads towards more intimacy, which is, you know, it has to be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone says, my partner snores. We work different shifts. I sleep in the garage to ensure a good night's sleep. Mind you, when it comes to intimacy, we use her bed. Garage in the summer or anywhere for that matter. So it's her bed now. So they're just in the garage.
Okay.
Lucy in Stillorgan says, totally agree. Changed 3 months ago. We sleep in the same very large bed, but we have separate duvets.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Graham says, the Scandinavian solution. I'm waiting for the day that I hear some experts say, and everyone does it well except the Scandinavians, who makes an absolute bollocks of it. Yeah, we're all waiting for that day, Graham. That's never going to happen.
They get everything right, don't they?
In the amount of sleep one should get, is there a range there?
Absolutely, yeah. Minimum 7, maximum 9. So we're looking, the 8-hour thing is actually solid and real. 8 hours is the optimum. And you want to give yourself that window, if you like, so that you have an opportunity for 8 hours sleep. And you look at it that way rather than putting pressure on yourself. I have to get that. There's an 8-hour window and you're going to go in and out of like different stages of sleep. You're going to have lighter stages of sleep. And there's an acceptance of that. And there's a sense of putting emphasis on rest rather than pressure. And all of this I do cover in my book, and also my sleep audios are really good at helping people.
Can you have too much sleep?
Yes, you can. You absolutely. Overgnawing is not good. You're going into, you know, you're going to be depleted really, rather than refreshed from too much sleep. It's counterproductive, and it also then will disturb your rhythm. You want to get into a really good, solid routine. Mm. You know, it's routine is key.
If somebody is then sleeping more, if they're sleeping more than 9 hours a night, yeah, might that be a sign of something else?
Yeah, it means the sleep they're getting is not effective. It means there could be some underlying condition. It means that there could be depression, low mood. There's lots of reasons there that you'd be looking at. Why is this person, you know, it's almost like an escape in some way for something, or to try to alleviate pain or some other reason.
Yeah. A lot of people texting in recommending earplugs.
Yes, again, a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd work, because you'd still hear the snoring kind of vibrating through the bed.
now something's coming out here. Yeah, I don't know how loud your partner's.
So I've heard.
So you've
from
heard.
Other people.
Yeah.
Fiona, thanks for coming into us today. Fiona Brennan is a clinical hypnotherapist and the author of Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.